And Natalie Imbruglia.
And now, our brand new segment with Katrina Rowe from the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
That's not flying for me.
Why?
I don't know. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. You're not sold on the name, Aaron.
No, the name's good. The theme song. Do you like your theme song?
What is it?
Shirley Temple.
Okay.
The Good Ship Lollipop.
Sure, whatever.
You're not into it, are you? Okay.
To you guys, you can choose the theme music. It's kind of hard to think of something, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
No, we've picked it already.
But
no.
Please explain for us, what is this new segment all about?
Well, basically, I mean, from the mouths of babes, I've been quite astounded since I became a mum about what we can learn and often quite profound things from our kids. Like, even very young children, I think, you know, can teach us something, you know, about the world, about, you know, teach us things spiritually. They can teach us things about ourselves very often. You know, often we see ourselves reflected in our kids, and sometimes that can be a little bit scary.
Yes.
When we hear the things they say and then we realise, oh, gosh, they must have got that from me. But I just thought, a lot of parents go through a lot of the same issues, and it's always good to talk about, you know, the things that we go through as parents, and I guess to focus on the positives as well about what we can sort of learn from our kids and how much they kind of challenge us, I guess.
It's good. I'm looking forward to, Aaron and I were chatting about during the week, we're looking forward to it, all the stuff that we can learn. What is day number, and no pressure, but this is the first one, this sets the bar.
Yep, it's make or break.
That might just go home. Well, look, for me, one of the best things about being a parent is that you get to read lots of fantastic children's books. I have to tell you, this is one of the top five reasons why I even wanted to have kids. It's because you get to read all the great books, and they usually have sort of fairly uplifting stories, you know, with happy endings. But the other day, some friends brought back some picture books from Indonesia for my 2-year-old girl, Birdie. And, they're a little bit different. One of them was about a hive of bees. And in this story, a bear attempts to steal the bees' honey. So one of the bees then goes and stings the bear. And so the pictures show this bear crying out in pain. And then the story ends with the main bee dying because, as we all know, bees can't really survive once their sting is gone. So,
Not many kid books have the main character dying. What did your daughter make of that?
Oh, I can't tell you. She was so upset. No. She starts calling out, "Where's her mummy? Oh. She needs her mummy." You know, really quite genuinely upset. And then she insisted on turning back to the page where the bear was smiling. And she was saying, you know, "I want to see bear happy." And so we had a look at the page where the bear was happy. And then, you know, that was the end of the story.
What do you think? Was it the fact that the bee died or the bear was crying? Why was she so torn apart by this?
Look, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure whether maybe, kids just naturally need to feel secure, or whether she's just maybe got really accustomed to our Western formula of storytelling where the conflict is always resolved at the end of the story. I mean, obviously the Indonesian writers didn't feel compelled in any way to explain the story's ending. But there was, you know, no moralistic lesson about good triumphing over evil. There was no suggestion that the bee had died for the greater good of the hive, you know. The only thing I can imagine is that perhaps as sort of a poorer developing nation, maybe Indonesians are just more culturally accepting of death and pain as part of life. I don't know, but certainly came as a shock to us and very upsetting for Birdie, yeah.
It's the kind of thing, though. I mean, we have this Brady Bunch approach to everything. We want everything to have a happy ending. Everything has a resolution in our society. I guess kids' books need to have that same kind of happy, everything's all right with the world ending.
Yeah, it's funny because it doesn't really reflect true life, does it? Yeah, I mean, books for young kids particularly do have happy endings. I was thinking about, I saw in preschool some kids reading The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And
most people love it.
Yeah, familiar with that story. I love it too. I love it. But, you know, you remember how the caterpillar gorges himself on Saturday and then he gets a dreadful stomach ache. And then after that, he eats through one nice green leaf and after that he feels much better. You know, every time we read that book, actually, Birdie demands to say a prayer for the caterpillar. You know, she goes, popular, popular, and then we turn the page and the caterpillar's all better. So I don't know if you meant to pray for fictional characters or not, but it sometimes worries me that I think, you know, maybe this is sort of too good to be true. Maybe this is setting her up for, you know, future sort of disappointment. But I think really the happy ending is just a way of telling the child that they're safe and secure and that, you know, that the grown-ups in their world will take care of them. That's a really common theme in young children's books. And just basically that the world's a good place to be.
I wonder if, I don't know, maybe we should have more stories that have sad endings. Maybe, and helpful, I don't know, if there must be books out there, especially to explain things to help kids get through maybe a death of a parent or something like that.
Exactly.
There's got to be books out there that have, if you know of a book out there that has a sad ending, well, not, entry not even, contrary to the usual happy ending.
It doesn't have to be a sad ending, but just an ending where something happens where you go, okay, that's not normal in a kid's book. Maybe there is a character that, I don't know. Whatever.
More real life, even.
More real
possibly.
Life.
1-300-40-2020. Love to hear from you this morning if you know of such a book. But Lara's favourite book is Wombat Stew at the moment. She loves that.
Wombat Stew.
And so the wombat saved from being eaten in the end. So there's another happy one. But
we're Dr. Seuss fans, so that's just quirky, weird stuff.
But there's no real happy. It's just all the same, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of happy. The snow gets cleaned up in, you know, Cat in the Hat. Well, Katrina.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm digging this. I'll give you 10 points, 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
For week one. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think so.
Well, look, if you know of a book like that, please, 1-300-40-2020, particularly have happy endings
kids
for kids.
Stories.
Very much so. Who should we take first?
Oh, we've got a few people waiting here. Let's chat to Rebecca first.
All right. Morning, Rebecca.
Morning. Hi.
What's the story you got?
The Rabbits by John Marsden and Sean Tan. And another one, it's called Waiting for Mummy by Tae Joon Lee and Dong Sun Kim. And it's about this boy who's waiting at the tram stop for his mum in China. And by the end of the book, he says he's no longer asking questions when each tram comes in. And basically, it's about his mum who doesn't come along, and he's left there standing at the tram stop.
She doesn't come back?
No.
And it's a children's book?
It's a children's book. It's beautifully illustrated and gorgeous pictures and all of that. Yeah. It's really harsh.
Is it
Yeah, sorry.
Was it written in China?
Where is it? I've got it here. It doesn't actually say. Where it was written, but another book is A Dust. It's a children's book, beautifully illustrated, about Africa and a mother and child die of starvation. And, it's a children's book as well, but it's really realistic. Yeah.
They break the mold a little bit, I think.
How did your kids respond when they read those books?
I don't have kids, but I've been a children's worker in a church. So, I've used them, and some of the kids have kind of been, oh, this is interesting. So,
okay.
They haven't been too startled by things. I think kids are pretty resilient and tough these days.
And it's real life too. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
good. Thanks for sharing those, Rebecca. That's great.
No worries. Thank you.
No worries. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I think Ellie wanted to chat about The Dust as well. Ellie, you there?
Yep.
I'd never heard of that book before. Tell us a little bit more about The Dust.
It's written by lots of different people, and it's put together with lots of different artworks for each page, and the money that's raised is going to help save the children in four countries.
I've read this.
Yeah.
I've borrowed it from the library. I remember one. Oh. Yeah, it's really good. It's a great book.
And how old were you when you had it read to you, or when you read it?
I was 11.
And were you cool? Like, how did you respond to it when you heard the book?
Probably that we should be doing something about it, and every little thing that we do will help to make a difference.
Oh, good.
That's
stuff.
A good outcome.
That's a very good outcome.
Good on you, Elle. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. I mean, that's ideal outcome to come from such a book, and obviously the intention of it as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Jodie's on the phone as well. Morning, Jodie.
Oh, good morning.
Now, what book is your son into big time?
I don't know about books, but I know about, like, the whole book club.
The whole lot. All right.
Yes, he's right into Thomas the Tank Engine, and I know that, you know, probably every parent is aware of it and their children might be involved in it somehow, but particularly for boys, my son's 4.5, and he got into it on the ABC program when he was before he was one, and now he's like 4 and a half, and he just loves it.
He loves Thomas.
It's a simple story of Thomas getting sad or upset or a bad tummy because he gets a fish caught in his his funnel. And, you know, Henry misbehaves, so he gets stuck in a tunnel. And they're quite realistic stories. Yeah, there's ups and downs, light and shade in the stories, and I think that they're really good for teaching children about interaction and relationships, but just with engines, train engines.
You know what? Maybe they are. Our approach with Thomas in the past, because we used to read those to Connor, and we thought, you know what? It's teaching him to be rude and mean, because they're actually quite nasty to each other. But maybe that's the approach, to still read those and say, well, look, how did they handle it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll read him a story, and, you know, if he has some sort of reaction, but I think it depends on my reaction to it. Like, I'll say, oh, dear, you know, and you approach it like that in a nice, soft way.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't sort of go, oh, geez, that wasn't nice, was it? Well, we don't like him. He's a bad engine.
Yes.
He's off the list. Get rid of him. You know, yeah, most parents read stories to their children. If you read them in a light-hearted, interactive way, they love it.
That's good. Thank you, Jodie.
Not a problem. And I just wanted to make a point about the hot weather.
Yes.
Yes, if people that maybe don't have air conditioning or they may not want to use it for financial reasons, just have a cold shower or a cool shower or a bath.
That's a good idea.
I think it's very important that, you know, even the elderly, they can still hop under the shower and cool their body temperature down.
That's true. It's always good. Just hop in the bath. Just be like that. Why not?
Cool.
And you used to be able to go out and play with a sprinkler. But not anymore.
Back in the day.
I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore with the water restrictions. But thanks, Jodie.
That slop under the sprinkler.
That's right.
Thanks a lot.
No worries. Good books there.
It's interesting, isn't it? The whole just exploring that idea of why so many books have the happy, friendly, cuddly, all is good ending. And should we be reading books that are not always have happy endings to our kids?
And can you find them? The minority.
Yeah, they are.
Joanne Lester just texted and said that Pocahontas is the only Disney film that and book, I guess it's a book as well, that has a sad ending.
What's the ending to Pocahontas?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
But we'll Google it and find out.